Bam Erickson here with After Buzz TV for Power Season 4, Episode 5. Don't thank me. Special guest in the building. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah!
Freedom, y'all. Freedom! My man!
We did it, y'all! We did it! Who's with me?
Yes! Freedom! I love it.
What's up, everybody? Bam Erickson, you can follow me on our social media at Bam Erickson.
Jimmy V, Twitter and Instagram at Be Your Own Dad.
Jill Monroe at Stiletto Jill.
Hey, I'm Robin. Follow me at Robin Ayers.
And in the building, returning back.
Yes,
he is a friend of the show. Please welcome. He plays the character of Cooper Sacks. Please welcome Mr. Shane Johnson.
Woo! Sorry.
It's your fault.
Sorry.
Okay, Can I just say that Cooper's delivery is one of my favorites. He always comes with the little one-liners and the little jabs to Angela, and they're perfect.
And it's so smooth, too. He's like, oh, yeah. It's like
perfect. Funny.
Yeah, I love it. They do a good job.
We're going to get to that.
Sorry.
We're going to get to all that in a second, but we have so much to talk about.
We
and
do.
I don't want them to give us to. We got to hurry up signs. So let's go.
Okay.
All right, so Julio gets a text from Pancho and Callahan that Cristobal is getting more breaks and they want the same amount. So Sue says to Cristobal that Cristobal has been coming to the club lately and asks if she wants to keep an eye out on what's going on. Julio says no. Sue. Tell anyway, do you think this is going to affect their relationship? Do you think Sue?
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah. Freedom. 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 Right. You know what I mean?
A reminder in case we
So do you think that Sue is going do you think she's gonna be defiant and she's going to actually find out something and tell Julio or not tell Julio? What do you guys think about this?
She's going to get involved. She's like, you know, ride or die right now. She's trying to be the Bonnie to his Clyde. Mm. So she is just going to keep her eyes open. Mm. And if she sees something that looks a little interesting, she might, you know, just like she kind of flirted with Cristobal when he was in the club. If you need anything, come to me. The last episode. So
maybe. But didn't she already do her part? Didn't she tell him? And then he was like, all right, cool. I'm on my
good,
way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So didn't she do she played a role, I feel like. But you know, you called it. You said Sue is there for a reason. As soon as Julio brought her into the club or into the bar, you called it. Nice job, Bam.
Thank you. And when she offered to give more information, when she just said that she was going to be working at the Underground, Julio then said, no, it's okay.
That's right.
Who's in favor of Julio being demoted? I am.
No, Julio's going to be important.
Demoted? No. He did a smart move, though.
No, I don't think so.
He did a smart move.
You think Julio's going to be out?
He is not doing his job, and I think next week or the week after, he's dead.
Yeah, I do think Julio's
You are always
down
trying
there.
To kill someone.
That's
okay,
true.
Let's hear why, Ben.
Because he is not doing his job. He doesn't multitask well, and he's not stepping up in his position. All of these things, Ghost and or Tommy never had to deal with all of your employees coming back and forth. It's just he's not good for the position. His intentions are good, but he has to go.
You said, what are you thinking?
Well, no, just as he's talking, I'm thinking about it's interesting. People have different approaches to control. Like Tommy just like goes with power.
Yeah.
You know? He just like intimidation and power.
Yeah.
Dre is very underhanded.
Sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ghost, I don't really know where Ghost is. Ghost is, you know, he's been locked up for a while, so that's a little different. But with Julio, he hasn't really found his footing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hasn't really found his approach. And when he tries his approach, it doesn't quite work. You know, being under Tommy's shadow, trying to step out of that's, you know, obviously really difficult.
Yeah. Tommy's a beast. Right. Like, he's scary. We'll get to this, but that one scene where he was talking to Dre, and he was like, good job, Dre. Like, you know, first you were on the corner, and now you doing
just
whatever.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah. And it's like, you rarely even see Tommy in that light, like smiling and laughing and very complimentary. And then in a switch, like, he was like, don't mess up. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he just turned it really fast. So, I mean, Tommy is, his role is just incredible, but he's a very scary dude.
Speaking of Dre, so he decides to set up this underground spot to supplement the loss of the clubs since they're not able to push the drugs through. So Pitar does not like it, and he thinks that he doesn't like it because it's not the original plan to push the drugs through the club. There's no security.
Right.
There's going to be a bunch of people in this confinement, and he's worried about that, and he doesn't trust the girls. What is your thoughts on Pitar, and is he right? Does he have a right to express this, or should he fall back?
He definitely has a right to have all those concerns, especially the fact that there's no security. Because when you are a partner, mm-hmm. everything has to be shared 50-50. Mm-hmm. If you're keeping something from me, I'm gonna feel some type of way about mm-hmm. it. So I think he's doing the right thing, but he doesn't act on it, which we may see how that unfolds.
For me, I feel like, of course, in business, you're going to have those concerns, but your bigger concern is if your work isn't moving. Mm-hmm. And this is a way, obviously, it's not a permanent fix. Mm-hmm. It's temporary, and it's of the streets. And ultimately, you want your product moved. So not forever, but I do think that it was a good stopgap, for lack of a better term. Hmm.
I will agree with that. So now, Pitar is on the phone with this guy in Chicago. Who is he? Tommy's going to Chicago. What do you think?
I'm nervous. I'm really definitely nervous. I mean, I'm like, Tommy, don't go. I mean, but here's the thing that I feel safe in. I don't feel like Tommy is going to leave the show. I don't think he's going to get killed. Now, will he get hemmed up? Will he get kidnapped? Will he get, you know, somebody have to come and help him out? Probably so. You think he's going to die, Bam?
I do.
Gosh, I really don't like to hear that. You know, I really don't want to hear that, but
I think he is going to get into a big jam, especially the fact that he doesn't have any type of phone, any type of communication, yeah. especially mm-hmm. with now we know who is coming back home. Mm-hmm. I think he will actually end up saving him in the long run.
But let's be clear. How difficult is it to get another cell phone? I would imagine that there are some numbers to this day whose numbers I can still remember. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he still remembers Tasha's number. Mm-hmm. He can call. He has access to call if he chooses not to. If he chooses mm-hmm. to, he's just trying to make sure that, you know, he's not that no one, you know, tracks him or something.
Right. Yeah.
But he
yeah.
has access to phone and communication. I mean, New York to Chicago is a long drive. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
One of my favorite things of having guests come on our show is you guys know everything, and you're sitting there like trying to look at our faces. You're like, not even close. Oh, it's so funny. It's just
no, it's
cute.
Just trying to put myself in the position of this episode and not get ahead of it.
Yeah,
because right. you know, I get my, first of all, I get myself in trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think. Yeah, I don't know that Tommy thinks ahead that much, though, in terms of, like, I can handle communication later. I feel like he's, whatever's happening, he's off the grid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the vibe.
To me, him going off the grid, it felt like he knows that whatever's going to happen in Chicago isn't going to be pretty.
Yeah.
And he, to your point, he's concerned about coming back or what could come back in light of whatever happens there. I just thought it was weird. He's never taken off with no phone.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. Literally at that moment, I thought to myself as he's getting in the car to drive away, Tommy is just one of those people. Like, if it were me, I'd be like, somebody come and save me. You guys, like, like, put up the car.
Yeah, put out the Batman signal. Yeah.
Come save me. I'm that type of person. Most people, I think, are those type of people, right? Tommy just is like, it's not there for him. He's just like, it is what it is. This is the life I chose.
Yeah.
Don't come for me. Mm-hmm. It is, you're not supposed to find me. That's yeah. And I thought how interesting of a character that is.
Like, he doesn't even have like a street name. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, who just goes by their whole name?
Yeah,
right.
Straight
and all the stuff that he does.
That is a good point. But that clown ass Black, what's his name? Black
Grim.
He knows that he's in Chicago as well as Pitar. But Pitar also knows as well. And I don't know, like Ghost and Tommy, they're like these unofficial twin brothers where they can kind of feel when something's wrong. So Ghost, if something is wrong with Tommy, Ghost will be able to find him now that he's out. That's what I think. But we got to move on. So Dre,
did you have something to say, Shane?
No, I just think that Tommy is really street, and I think that his main thing, if I'm in Tommy's head, is that he was protecting the organization. He's protecting Tasha and the family.
Yeah.
He's protecting, you know, his mom. He's protecting Lakeisha. He's by just going, hey, I got to go deal with this myself and cutting everything off. It's like the fate's going to land in his lap, whatever, yeah. whatever mm-hmm. may come.
I see that.
I feel like Tommy's going to have to make a major decision that only he can make, since he's got no type of communication, which will end up hurting everybody in the end. But
yeah, so before Tommy leaves to Chicago, he confronts Dre about taking Tariq to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Open discussion. What you think?
First of all, Tariq's in the wrong. Obviously, he made up the story. I don't think Dre dropped him off. I don't think Dre's lying about it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tariq made up the story. Why is he lying to Tommy? Is to protect him hanging out with Slim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just feel like Tariq is you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught up, and then they're going to find out about Slim and all the other dominoes, and it's just going to be a mess. Like, you're not covering anything.
Well, also, because Tariq he's new to this hood shit. Right. He's not properly equipped, so you can tell that he was thinking of a story, and he got kind of caught. Yeah. And so he just said, oh, Dre, it was just a blurt of a lie, because he had nothing else to say. So mm-hmm. he knows that Tommy knows. And Tommy, you know, Tommy knows. So it's
wait, only Tommy knows what?
Tommy knows that Tariq is lying.
You think so?
I do. Yes. I think
because,
so too.
Because.
Well, do you think.
Especially after Dre confirmed it.
Well, yeah. that's the part. I think after he spoke to Dre. But I thought you were talking about right at that moment.
That moment.
I think he had his doubts.
Well, the reason. I didn't think mm-hmm. that. I thought that he was waiting for a reason. Remember, he didn't trust Dre. Mm-hmm. He thought Dre... when they found Tariq and Dre mm-hmm. brought him back home. And that whole interaction of...
The elevator stair.
The elevator. Like, that was that moment where you're out. Like... Yeah. Tommy is looking at Dre like, I'm going to find out. Yeah. So when Tariq said Dre's name, did you see his face change? Mm-hmm. His face changed. But to me, that meant... Yeah, so he was lying, and he does know what's up. So okay. I'm going to get at Dre. So okay. I felt like he believed Tariq right in that moment. And plus, this is Tariq. Like, why would he lie to me? I'm Uncle Tommy, right? I'm Uncle T. Mm-hmm. So then when he goes to Dre, and then Dre, you know, confirms whatever he said, then he started to doubt in his mind. But I think that raises some suspicions, and Tommy is probably going to look more and more into it from mm-hmm. that conversation.
If he makes it back.
Lord, please make it back.
Any thoughts? So Tariq went ahead. You know, I gave him multiple choice last week of what we thought happened, and so he actually lost his virginity.
Woo, my man Tariq. I'm just saying. I see you, boy.
Wait, how old is Tariq?
To that thought,
how old is he?
He's like what? 16.
He's like 16.
He's 16.
You know, they're a reminder that they're twins.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I forgot that they were twins. Right.
Yeah. So how old are they? They're about 16.
The thing that I thought was interesting, and I had forgotten, is in when the girl, and I can't remember what her name was, that he sleeps with.
Mm-hmm. Destiny.
Destiny, mm-hmm. right. When she says, when he says, well, you know, about Slim. And she's like, Slim? I thought she was going to correct him.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Right.
It kind of had that vibe, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, my heart was like, yeah. And she did, and I was like, dang, you know?
I feel like she's the one that is going to... sort of help him out of this, or to see some things.
She's helping something.
Yeah, she's helping well. Something. Yeah, and or you know,
the boy has become a man. Things.
Man.
Tariq obviously is a little PW. Think about what that means. And so, he.
Why do you say obviously? Like, what did he do?
Because
it's new.
Because it's new.
But it's first time.
And he's asking Tommy. He's asking Tommy. Huh?
He's a password. Is that wrong?
He's asking questions. He's being inquisitive. Like he's in this state where he doesn't really want to talk to people. He only answers questions. So the fact that he's going to Tommy asking questions means that he really has some feelings for this girl, which is why he was asking Tommy, you know, about the advice. So he's catching feelings for
all right.
Girl.
I mean, PW. I mean, it's a little strong. I mean, he didn't. It's not like he's lying for the girl. He's, yeah. You know,
I don't know about that.
But remember, he was looking at the phone number. He's like he's attached a little bit.
He just like, I'm 16, I want some more, you know, that good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know that he's PW. That, I think that's just a little bit strong. Okay. We don't know yet. He could be, but we just don't know yet.
The first one always has a
But he
some
could.
Power.
It's always got that hold on you.
Wait, listen, no. It is powerful, though. Like,
I did like how Tommy did give him some fatherly uncle's type advice to say, always strap up. no matter what. Mm-hmm. If someone told a lot of these young kids out here that, it'd be a whole different generation. Yeah. So shout out to Tommy on that.
Yeah.
Julio sees Cannon at Underground. Cannon, excuse me. What you think?
That's going to be a major key.
It's time to get caught up.
I thought Julio is going to thug it out a little bit longer, because now he knows some information and that gives him a little bit of leverage in some places, because he is going to be able to bring that to Tommy or, you know, use it with something. He's going to utilize that information for his benefit.
I definitely see that. Now, also, think that will potentially get him killed next week or the week after.
That too, that's possible.
That was just counting.
Everybody
down,
getting killed.
Anybody can get it.
Yeah, this but is
gonna be a whole new cast.
Right, exactly. But I did think, and we wondered this, like, did Julio know that Kanan is alive, or or did Julio know? But I believe Julio knows who Kanan is just from around the way, because he's been around that organization for a while, right? Yeah. So then why is it... So then the other question is it the secret? Is it a secret that only Tommy and Ghost know that Kanan is supposed to be dead?
I'm going
to
say that it is a secret only by the reaction that Julio had when he saw Kanan. He got the hell up out of there, because he didn't probably want him to know that he was there or
recognize him,
or, you know, visible. Mm-hmm. So I think by the way he left... It was like, oh, okay, let me get out of here and let me...
Or was that the reason that he... I don't know.
I was under the assumption as in he wanted to go find Tommy ASAP to go tell him what he just saw. Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. I just knew it was a situation. Yeah. He was like,
And then, so now that James is out of jail, which we'll discuss, so Jukebox takes Tariq.
First of all, I don't like the way you said that. You need to have a little bit more excitement in your voice.
That was the biggest of the episode, man.
Well, I mean, there's so much. I'm just trying to get to...
No, we got you.
Just put some respect on the set.
So now that James is out of jail.
Yeah!
And Angela laid it all on the line.
So Jukebox takes Tariq and she wants to go back to the original plan. She wants to hold Tariq for money, and then she wants to kill both he and Dad. Do you guys think that Kanan is still going
with the plan?
Or
no,
you,
I think he's scared. I think he caught feelings.
I think he caught feelings for Tariq. Yeah, he's like, that's my son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's my little man right there. Yeah, that's my...
I think he feels like Ghost made me take, you know, my son out. His, and he's developed an attachment.
Yeah, and the irony of that, just look at the irony, really, how Ghost took Sean under his belt as though he were a son. It's almost like maybe the intention was for Kanan to say, I'm going to take your son then, but actually caught some feelings along the way. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to go through with the plan. I think she's going to end up getting killed.
And then I think...
Jukebox.
You guys think everybody's about to get killed.
It's power.
We had three deaths in the last two episodes.
Count them up.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Don't even notice anymore.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're just gone.
Yeah. Body's here. Body's there.
I just didn't want to speak on the idea of street smart. So you see how where she asked Kanan, "Are you still down?" And then he was like, what do you need me to do?
Yes.
But I think he knows he's not down, but he's like, I'm a still play That's it right. out so I can figure out my next move after this.
Completely agree.
Do you think Jukebox will have a change of heart once Dre has convinced Kanan that now that Milan is dead, now you could be the top man selling?
No.
It's for whatever her feelings about Ghost top whatever Kanan felt at first. She is just very, like, black-hearted. I don't know.
But I don't sense any. I don't sense any feelings from her. I mean, even the way she dealt with her girl.
Yeah.
Right.
Last
yeah.
season, and the way she's dealt. I mean, I don't. And the way she took out, you know,
what's his name?
Her crew member.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just like, dang it! Now I got to replace his ass. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think that she's capable of catching feelings for anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, but the problem is, the St. Patrick's don't have the money that she thinks they have. So she can't kill them, and there's no money to take right now. Mm-hmm. So it may be a possibility that she has to go with this plan for Kanan to do drugs because their money is held up.
Although, you know, Tasha did make that phone call.
We're going to talk about that. That's a good point. But they don't know that. All they may know is that, you know, when you get out of jail and you have to pay lawyers, there's no money.
Yeah.
Just okay. Keisha, Tommy, and Tasha. So regarding her laying up with Tommy smoking a blunt, Keisha says
she rolled that, didn't she?
She says, this is new to me. Getting a good guy I can talk shit to and kick it with. What happened between you and Holly? I know you said she's coming back, so I just don't want to make that same mistake she did.
And he goes, huh?
You say something.
What'd you say? Yeah.
Thought about Holly in a minute. Smart move. Yeah.
So before I blast this whole situation, what do you guys think?
Jill? I'm sorry. I said last week, Keisha's going to be a problem. She's going to make things more complicated. Mm-hmm. She wants Tasha's life, and she is going about getting it. This is the closest next best thing. Like you said, ghost twin. Mm-hmm. Keisha's a problem.
Keisha is an asset. She's not a liability. So with that said, she wants to know more and more and more, but the more she finds out, everybody's liable to get caught. Now, Tommy didn't tell her about what he did to her name is
Holly.
Holly.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not in that comfort zone yet of their relationship where he can share anything with her, which
we saw.
He
doesn't like her.
Thank you.
He doesn't like her. I mean, he's not going to share anything with her because she was a warm body. She was convenient. He's not trying to get deep with her. He's trying to keep her balanced.
Pertaining to relationship, but don't you think that with their entire world being so chaotic, so drug, so gully, so illegal, that Keisha's the one person, that one safety
that
net
would understand.
And I think she's people are underestimating, like, her, like, power or, like, what she can do. I feel like she sat in the back for a little while. You know what I'm saying? Like, she peeps game. She's not necessarily involved in it. She might be ready for some action. I think she's going to surprise a few of us.
Mm. So I wrote this little thing about relationships. I said, for a girl to ask you about your previous relationship with the ulterior motive of using that information as a reference to her relationship with you is equivalent of taking a road trip to Disneyland, but using a road map where the destination is to Magic Mountain. In other words, you're getting nowhere fast.
I disagree. I think sometimes you have those conversations just to see what happened, to see if, oh, I do that, this might not work out between us, or, okay, good, we're cool. You're curious. You're curious about what happened. Those things happen.
But you... Trying to inquire about a previous relationship so that you can figure out what she did.
I don't think she really meant that. I think her bringing that up is more so we can open up the relationship topic so I can bring it back to what I really want to say is what's up with me and you.
That's right. Hmm. Interesting way. I like that way. It's got a little yes, exactly.
A little twist.
Exactly.
I disagree. I stand by what I said. And to further this, my problem with Keisha and Tasha's relationship is that relationship is fake as hell.
It's not a relationship.
Friendship, though. Relationship.
It's a sex ship, right? That's what they have.
No, I'm talking about between Tasha and Keisha.
Tasha and Keisha. Okay, got it.
They have sex?
No.
I missed that episode. Right.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
It's a friendship of convenience. It serves a purpose.
Thank you. Ends. Exactly. And so that's my whole thing. I think men. I don't think and a lot of times it's possible for women to have a true friendship, say like men do, because most female relationships are conditional. And I feel like this Keisha, it is.
I don't think so.
But there are friendships that
My man's got a point, though. My man's got a point.
There are friendships that don't do it.
This is what I'll say, because I think both men and women can play that same type of relationship, you know, route like you're talking about. Mm. But I think some relationships are just based on history, which her and Tasha seem to have, Keisha and Tasha, that we just know each other. We've been around the way. We've been through so much together. I still know you. You know me. I know your family, all of that. There could be some jealousies. I know your dirt, mm-hmm. right? So it's better to keep her, you know, close. So like there could be some jealousies and envies and stuff like that that are buried in there. But this is how I figured that it wasn't a real, real solid friendship just in this past episode. When Tasha basically did to Tommy what she said to Ghost. Mm-hmm. Remember when she told Ghost, you're going to keep effing her till I... Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, she I did thought the same you. Thing. Did you?
I thought of you. Yeah, why, exactly. Did I say that? Yeah. During the episode, I was like, that's what Robin said. Like, okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Like, I totally think she... Tasha, first of all, Tasha is a G. She just is. You know what I'm saying? She
knows how to keep things moving.
She just knows. Pushing, like, yep. She just knows. I mean, seriously, teach me your ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, bam.
Bam. Just rolling no, with punches.
No. You think she's just rolling with punches?
I think she keeps standing up, but she's constantly being thrown punches. Like,
right.
But she's dodging them. Like,
I'm saying. Like, you'll never see her sweat.
Never.
You know, no matter who she's talking to, she keeps a calm, collected, you know, like facial poised, expression, yep. Very poised, and then she handles it, and I love that. Even she had to turn away from Tommy. That's her thing. She'll turn away to the camera, right, and whatever's going on, and then you see her working through all of the emotions, and then she'll turn back,
just like
and
what give Ghost her, does. Mm-hmm.
They all do it.
They all do it. Runs in the family.
But I like that she did that to Tommy, and she had his back in that moment. And I definitely loved how she G'd the situation, which was you're going to keep her around, and so that she doesn't. You know, the point that I was making is that she said, you never know, she could turn on us. So that's how you know that there's a friendship there, but it's not like a solid, solid friendship.
Well, I think, too, one of the dangers maybe with Keisha is that she's always second fiddle. You know, she's second fiddle to Tasha. Mm. She's second fiddle to Holly, to Tommy, to her son. So I think the danger is that she's volatile, and she obviously wants to protect her son, and if that was endangered, who knows?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
For someone to be best friends since the second grade, I'm just saying there's no loyalty between them, and I do understand Keisha's aspect. If you have always, because I feel like their friendship has always been, has always been conditional. Tasha gets everything. She even when she fucks Sean. So everything that Keisha wants, she never gets. Mm-hmm. So now that she finally has this moment where Tommy is, her and Tommy are together, mm-hmm. and then Tasha has it bad, her man is in jail, she's not getting sex, so now this is the one time where she can now, that's not a coincidence that she told Tasha inadvertently that she was messing with Tommy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is Keisha's way of trying to
rub
it in her face. And I'm just saying that their friendship, I see, it's just not...
It has some holes.
It has a lot.
I think Robin made an excellent point. Yeah. It's built on longevity and not anything else. People change sometimes, and they grow apart, but sometimes just the fact that I've known you since way back, you know, keeps them around. And she's useful to Tasha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
She needs it for the store, so yeah.
And so, speaking of loyalty, really quickly, let's go to Angela and her sister. So, Angela's sister hates James, and she bashes him every chance she gets. Mm-hmm. She's clearly biased. She says James is a liar and a cheat.
Understandable.
But if you know something that you can get the truth out, then you got to do it. If he's not innocent, shut up.
I know.
I mean, but we're talking death penalty. Some people can have a moral fiber. Somebody has to be the moral fiber of the show.
The sister needs to shut the hell up, because your sister is also a liar and a cheater. And
plays the same game.
And she and your sister was sleeping with a married man. So it just drives me crazy when I see people like the sister want to throw rocks and hide hands. Like, you don't like James because, for whatever reason, you need to just say that you don't like him for that reason. But your sister is also guilty, and she needs to shut the hell up. But I'm glad that she at least supported her so that Angie can go and do the right thing later. But...
Yeah.
That's anything else about the sister?
Yeah, I like that she stays true to character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really see anybody switch up. She's still like, listen, I don't like that man. But on the flip side, if there's still morals there. Like, if you need to do something, have something that could actually help, then go ahead and do it. If he's innocent, she said.
Really quickly, so Angela goes and meets with Proctor, and we see Proctor's sister, Eliza.
Daughter.
The daughter. The daughter. So she said, now that I'm staying with you, do you see a storyline that you guys want to touch on before we really go into the meat and potatoes of the last night's episode?
I'm not sure, but I will say this, and I always say this, I don't think anything is just by chance. I don't think that power, like the writers will just say anything just for nothing. Yeah, no. I think it's always to lead to something else. That's what I feel.
Whenever something like that, I can't remember what I was watching, but attachments are liabilities. So whether it's a child, a wife, a girlfriend, anything that you have a soft spot for is a liability. So I feel like them showing Proctor in that light means that something is going to happen to jeopardize his daughter in some way, that he's going to have to take action or something like that. Don't know how or what, but
that's one of the great actors said in the movie Heat, don't get attached to something you can't leave within 30 seconds because they are a liability to you, and that is the perfect example.
There you go.
Great point.
Boom.
All
right, Heat.
So James and Silver, in the beginning of the episode, there were still some trust issues going on between the two. Jamie's pissed that, you know, that Proctor, the lawyer that he trusted, is disqualified. Silver says, I get it, but you need to get over that shit. Mm-hmm. And you need to do it pretty goddamn quickly, because if we can't trust each other, I'm no good to you, and I'm the only Negro standing between you and the needle.
Facts.
Do you guys feel like that moment they finally had
common ground?
It's a realization.
I mean, there were no lies told.
Yes,
I mean,
was.
That's just what lies.
He still did not cough to the business.
I'm talking about what Silver had to say. I'm not talking about James' response. I'm saying the reality of the situation is James needs a lawyer. He needs a lawyer to defend him. He needs a lawyer to poke holes in the theory. Mm. So you got to buck up and... Mm. You know.
Yeah, that's one of those defending somebody who you know is guilty or don't like, and yet you still have to do your job. I think he's going to, it seems to me like he knows exactly what's going on. He knows he's being lied to, but is like, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to get you off if I can. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's the Johnny Cochran. Sorry. You know, depending on which theory you want to go with. Sorry.
So Angela tells Sandoval James is not shown on the footage going to the bar area where the gun was found, and she thinks that James is innocent. Sandoval says defense already wants to suppress the gun. What does trotting out the speculation about surveillance tapes to Judge Tapper do for us in the case? Does Sandoval have a point?
No, because this is why. There's too many dirty connections. There's too many things that have come up. They've been sloppy all along. So keeping that hidden, I just think ultimately for the prosecution would have been bad. People already are going to think certain things about James. I feel like that was one of the things they had on their side to a certain degree as far as the criminal entity. So I think covering and hiding that type of stuff, we obviously know why. Senator will push for that. But I just think that it was a bad look because ultimately it's going to get you in more trouble because it's going to come out.
I thought his response was a selfish one, meaning he knows if he can go with that story, it's good. Nothing comes back to me. So he was just looking out for himself in that situation there.
Bam, do you have something that you want to say?
No.
Because I would love to hear what you have to say.
Well, you know, it's tricky. I guess as a lawyer, it's a matter of your ethics. And it's funny because Angela's ethics are very
shaky.
Well, no, because at times she's razor sharp.
Yeah.
And she won't let up. Even in this episode, obviously she's like razor sharp. Like, you didn't do this thing. She knows all the shit that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, but you didn't do this one. So she has this sense of ethics, but at the same time, she's willing to break him in other places. My point is that when it comes to being a lawyer, I think it's like if you're like Johnny Cochran, you know, you have a case, you know what, you have all the evidence, you know what's up. The question is, do you present that if it's exculpatory or whatever? Mm-hmm. Do you present it, or do you just kind of suppress it, or do you just say, I wasn't aware of it, I didn't know about it, which is kind of what they tried to do with the traffic cam thing. They said, well, we didn't know, we didn't see it, we didn't.
It's almost,
you know, like, why would they investigate?
Yeah, it's almost like, well, if they don't bring it up, then they don't know anything about it, so then why should we?
Why would they shoot a hole in their own case? You know,
that's right.
The only problem with that, I looked at the bigger point in that, is there's a lot of times in situations, especially when you're dealing with minority men, where, you know, they are thrown into this system, you know, that a lot of times, or sometimes, they're not guilty of. And when you have a situation like this where the prosecution can't actually say, we're wrong, they won't do that because of ego. John, Mac has an ego. Sandoval has an ego. Cooper.
Cooper doesn't. But the thing that's funny is we hold to different sides to different standards.
Yeah.
Standards. What's his butt? Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's lying all day long.
Yeah, he is.
Everything he says that's is a lie. But when it comes to the prosecution, mm-hmm.
you
like, gotta
be
they have
on
to be
point. Yeah.
Ethical because they represent the government and they should be absolute. And so it's just, you know, I think it's probably fairly real world.
Yeah.
Where yes.
I think, yeah. You know, if you're a lawyer, oftentimes you're representing somebody that you know is guilty, and it's your job to just ignore that, you know?
But he's not guilty.
In this case, he is.
This time.
So
the only thing he's not
guilty. Cooper finds this financial record that Tommy wrote a seven-figure check to James Nightclub after they severed business ties. And so now they want to go and do the RICO case where it's where their motive is the payment for killing Greg Knox, kind of like murder for hire.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they can argue that the whole company is corrupt. What is you guys' take on the RICO case, and did you think it stood a chance?
Yes. The RICO, I mean, if you follow the money, mm-hmm. usually at some point that's where things start to fall apart. Mm-hmm. I learned that from The Wire. But
series.
I think that the RICO case probably ultimately has a better chance than the murder cases and things like that for me.
Hmm.
Just because that's, there's so many
absolutely.
Slippery things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you follow the money, mm-hmm. the evidence, like, I think, isn't that how they got Gotti, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a RICO case. Once it's tax connection. Evasion.
Yeah.
And that's when you, you know, he's not in jail because he killed people or he ran organized crime. He's in jail for tax evasion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of going, look, we're not going to be able to nail him for that.
For the murder.
We're going to nail him for this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think a lot of people think that OJ ended up in jail because they're like, right. we missed out on that thing.
Yeah. But we got you for this bullshit. Thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to mention just
OJ and Ghost free in the same weekend. Anyway.
Isn't that crazy, right? Yeah.
We timed it like that.
I was just highly impressed how James St. Patrick got on the stage. On the stand and held it down.
In that suit.
Did you see his suave, his swag, his, you know, speaking?
Actually get into it. First, before we get into that, I want to go into the conversation between Angela and James when she went to go visit him.
Oh.
First of all, who is MJ? I forgot.
MJ is the...
Okay. MJ was, remember those two attorneys that like did that
investigation?
They investigated all of us, and so they questioned us all.
The lady. So just a couple things that I thought was interesting. You know, Angie was kind of playing the tough girl, you know, asking questions, James, but he then kind of cracked her face when he says, "When I was in the apartment, you came in looking for Greg. I was hiding in the bathroom. You asked." You
it sounded
asked him,
so bad.
You asked him how it went with MJ, and then her face cracked. Mm-hmm. So just the open discussion of how Angie literally just told Silver, hey, you know, they're getting ready to do this RICO case, and she basically just... She...
I would like to recall season... For I don't know, a few episodes ago when I said I feel like Angie is going to be the one to... Well, I actually thought that she was going to do something dirty to get him out, mm-hmm. but she was going to be the reason to get him out. Now, depending upon how you look at it, this could have been dirty to some people, like the way she went about it turning away.
But you know what? Can I say something?
Yes.
One of my reasons why I don't think this RICO case would have actually failed through is because I think the prosecution, they're all egotistical, they're jerks, and they all get in each other's ways, and they don't really work well together. The prosecution should hands down be guarding, monitoring who goes in and visits... and visit Ghost 24 hours. There's a login. They should have found out that Angie went there, and they should have nipped this in the bud.
I agree.
They're sloppy. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I agree with that.
No,
part.
I agree. I think that, you know, she just always does the next thing that's unexpected.
She's a step ahead.
Yeah.
You know, taking the stand like that.
Right.
Just undercutting all of us. It's mm-hmm. We're all just dumbfounded.
She just rolled in there. I was like,
her whole career, you know, she's seemingly putting a gun to her career's head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And
that's two things about this episode that was so surprising. We saw Ghost take the stand, and we saw Angela too. I don't think as an audience, nobody expected that.
Mm-hmm. No, especially since they first said that we like, can't take the stand. Yeah. They both said that. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
What were you saying, Joe?
Oh, my one other thing that had me shocked and awe kind of didn't have anything to do with the court.
Okay. Well, before we get to the hearings, Silver and Tasha, is James gonna beat the brakes?
No, he gonna kill him.
This is going to be interesting because Tasha was intrigued.
Mm-hmm. She was.
I don't know if it was just because of the attention, you know, once again, because James is about James, as you pointed out, mm-hmm. and everything is about the family, the organization, and Silver seemed to have an interest in her as a woman. And, you know, I don't know if he had an ulterior motive because obviously he knows she's married. So mm-hmm. that seemed a little interesting for Mr. Upwardly stand, you know, upstanding citizen as he rained down on James.
It was awesome to me. I thought they did it just performance wise. They killed it when they're like celebrating and he hugs her. And at that point, you're not thinking there's nothing there, right? Mm-hmm. And then just that little moment of like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Look,
right? Like
mm-hmm. that's all it took is a little. Like just an arm brush, and she's like, "Oh!" And then that was it, and we're like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
but it was subtle, right? Yes. It wasn't
over
the top.
Yes.
Just planting a seed.
Yeah.
So when we go to now the acid hearing, so Tasha was going to tell Silver something when she entered the room to Silver. What do you guys think she was going to tell him? Do you think she was going to reveal the whole truth?
I think so. And I thought that was a dumb move to have done that right before she was going to get on the stand. Like, mm-hmm. you got his phone number.
Yeah.
Or maybe she was going to say that and maybe she wasn't. Mm-hmm. But that's what I did think.
Do you? Is there anything that you can recall in the script that maybe she'd said something but it was taken out at that point when Tasha wanted to tell?
I mean, like she was saying, I think the only thing that occurred to me, because mm-hmm. I'm not 100% on what she was going to say either, but the only thing that occurred to me is that she, you know, he's asked her point blank, is there anything I need to know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that she's facing the fire, she's kind of like, on second thought.
Right. Let me.
What's your guys' take? So now James take the witness stand. It was very well rehearsed.
Yes,
he's protecting her, Tasha. I think. Yeah. I mean, he's because when he was interviewing, when he said, "So listen, it's either you or it's either Tasha or you."
Yeah,
and then he cut away.
Yeah, and he was like, "My wife." Yeah,
yeah.
I think too. He also believes he can handle it better. He'll have more control over it because he can control whatever he says, how he reacts. Now he knows the whole thing that happened where Silver coached him up about being the angry black man on the stand, and he got to see it in his face. So,
and also, how much does he, in this moment, trust Tasha?
True.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, timeline-wise, she went and sat down across the glass from him and put him in his place
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, I can talk too. You know, I can protect myself if I have to. Kind of threatened him a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And then she's going to take the stand to protect him. He's probably like,
not so much.
I'd be more comfortable if I did.
So we have to go into, I know we're going to have to go into Teresi goes to Marshall and he puts it in his ear that James has a lot of money and he's the one that got him transferred to set him up. And then he sets him up to kill Ghost. All right. So just open discussion about Teresi, Marshall. His towel boy.
Change of plan. Oh my God. That was there was a bunch of jaw-dropping scenes mm-hmm. for me, but yeah. that whole encounter that he goes back, he's confronted, and he smashed his face in that room. I'm just like, okay, you got off, but you're going to be in jail anyway. Like,
Now, I have a question. So now Teresi gives him the cell phone and says, no, you are to give this to Egan or I'll tell.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in jail 25 years. Marshall said that there's no cameras. The cameras haven't been working in years. How the hell is Teresi going to, how is he going to prove or who's going to believe him? He killed this towel boy.
Well, let's hold on.
But
we have
care
to.
About that.
But I mean, because they do autopsy. I know, right, but he's multiple life sentences. He's not going to get out. If they do an autopsy, they could see maybe that he wasn't, you know, killed by strangulation, by arm. I mean, I feel like it's very much a real threat. Mm-hmm. Now, Teresi is an ally, but
I don't know. But what I want to say is Teresi definitely G'd that situation. Right. How he came up with the whole master plan of getting Marshall. Like, that was all his. We knew that it wasn't the end. Yeah. There, you got two bosses bossing up with each other, you know, and Ghost is like, yeah, yeah, let me know that you, you know what I mean, that you heard, nod your head if you heard what I said or whatever. And we think that Teresi is just gone. Like, right. No, he's not, it's gone. Over. He's a boss. So he's going to come back and he's going to G the situation. So I love that master plan. To try to, now you get Ghost and you are similarly, like, you're on the same page kind of deal, and it's like, you owe me one. So I thought that was really smart. The way that Marshall went out, yo, like, the way he went out, the way Ghost did him, it was just, you know, so passionate that Ghost did that. Everything was boiling up in him. Yes. He needed something outside of boxing and being in the gym.
I need to kill somebody. Release. Yeah.
Ghost was itching to kill somebody, yeah. You know, so I thought that was pretty, that was a great, great scene. It was so gruesome, but it was still very great. I liked it. Mm-hmm. But yes, so back to what you were saying.
I think it was, Marshall had to die. I was a little bummed because for Charlie Murphy to have this role, I felt like it was a waste of his time. We didn't see much of him. He was funny and he had, you know, like a couple little comments, but mm-hmm. I felt like unless he absolutely wanted this role because he was a fan, hell, they could have gave that role to me or you.
I don't agree.
I think it was a good guest star role, and I feel like he was also sick, so I think that could be me guessing, but I just feel like it's wanting him to be involved, but not wanting to, you know, put too much stress on him maybe at the time. And I thought it was a key role and it was pivotal.
Yeah,
so.
I was confused at the top of the episode. They didn't mention that he was supposed to be getting transferred out.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the episode, he's actually dead.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find the relevance there.
Do you want to explain it?
If you want to, I don't know if you want to wrap this one up, but we have to move into the release. We have to move into that, to that before time is up. So go ahead, Ben.
Where was I? Okay, so Angela takes a witness stand. Mm-hmm. So she takes a witness stand and she says, I was wrong. And
good for her.
And so John Mack then went in on her, totally made her look like she was his bad person. John Tapper was outraged. He blasted Angela and requested all members be suspended pending an investigation. And so now...
Bullshit. I'm like, I didn't do shit. Right,
yeah. Judge Tapper says, if you are guilty of this or any crime, I hope a more professional prosecution team will bring you to justice in the future. But for now, sir, you can go home. So now he's a free man. What do you guys think?
The prosecution self-imploded. You know, it's you can put all the blame on them. They messed this up for themselves. They had the shot. Nobody took the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out to my man Ghost though, because he's free. So.
And shout out to Angie. Like, I really want to give her some props for this particular episode because she was sitting there. She had Sandoval looking at her like he was gonna kill her.
Mm-hmm.
She had Tasha looking at her like, what you getting up there, you know, because remember Tasha wasn't expecting that, and then she's got the judge yelling at her, you know what I mean? So she handled herself very well. I'm just talking about her character.
Mm-hmm.
She handled herself very well, and I just wanted to give her props for doing what was right and doing what she had to do in spite of, like, maybe losing her job or something even worse.
Yeah, she really faces the fire, you know.
Yeah,
most of us would I know I would find an easier way, but she's really facing the fire for all of the shit that she's done.
Everything.
Yeah. I just wasn't expecting the judge to literally just be out. Like, oh.
I was, and I know you guys are saying wrap it up, but because this show's an hour, so if you could just please bear with us, I promise if you can give us like 4 minutes, I'll get through everything, if that's okay, please. But I was expecting that because, again, the DNA evidence was thrown out, the fingerprints, the prosecution had anything, and then on top of that, the judge was probably the only person in the building who didn't know that Angela was playing both sides. Mm-hmm. And then John Mack was... It was a total mess. So I can see his frustration and why he decided to dismiss the whole thing. It totally made sense because...
With prejudice.
Right. And we were saying last week that where is the prosecution going to go? They didn't really have anything. And so now my question to you guys is, do you think now that Ghost is... that he's free, the investigation, is it going to be Sandoval versus Angela?
Yes.
What's going to happen?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
First of all, when Ghost, did anybody else cry when when the judge said he could go home? His eyes watering up. I was crying with him. I was like, I'm sorry, y'all. I was emotional.
I cried tears of joy, okay?
Tears of joy, okay. But I do think that Sandoval, it's between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And she looked at him, that key moment again in the elevator. What's up with the elevator scenes? Mm-hmm. When she said, I'm going to find out who killed Greg by all means, whatever exactly. I don't know how she said it, but she said the truth always comes to light. I thought that was a very key, pivotal moment.
She said it in Spanish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We had to read that.
Yeah. To make sure he understood what's about to happen.
We totally had to read that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you guys. Because we got to do
And then, what about what?
All right, you want to do predictions?
Really quickly, we can do that. We can do the Tasha Stern and predictions. Is there anything else that you can tell us that we're going to expect? I have to ask. So, I personally, I'll give a
prediction. We're not done.
Okay.
I'll say that. We're not
predictions.
Done.
Predictions.
Oh, man, I think the whole show is about to do a 180 flip. Now that Ghost is out, he's about to hack some revenge on a lot of people. So I think the show is gonna go from Ghost was down and out on his last, now he's about to rise back up to where he was.
I expect a lot of murder and mayhem. I expect a lot of bodies to drop over the next
couple
of weeks.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Multiple. And yeah,
I have a very strange, it's a theory. I don't know if it's a prediction, but a very strange theory that, that Stern put Silver, I don't know, something, maybe Stern and Silver got something going on. That could be kind of interesting, because how all of a sudden Stern appears, right? He's trying to bail him out, trying to give him some money. I mean, that is a major thing, because that's going to play a role in the upcoming episodes, I believe. And then how Silver told Tasha, it's true, right? So and then Silver tells Tasha, oh yeah, you might want to think about getting what did he say? Was the exact words?
A bump or something, right?
Something like a loaner or a floater. And it was just like,
and she calls, and then she calls Stern.
And then that was the reason for her calling Stern. It was just so weird to me, you know. But I also think that Silver is strange. I think he's got some dirt on him. But he's just been playing it too cool. He's too pretentious to not have something up his sleeve. I do think that Kanan is going to kill Jukebox. She's going to get killed somehow, my belief. Ghost owes Angie. So maybe Sandoval and Angie, like, maybe something is happening. She figures it out, and she's going to, like, get into something with him, and then maybe Ghost saves her because he owes her. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I've said my two cents.
Did you say, you have your prediction?
Murder and mayhem.
Okay, so next week I'm going to drag Tasha for getting money from Stern.
Please. We are both
I have to admit, although I don't really care about the task force now that the Ghost is out of jail. I mean, I would love for you guys to have a job and work, but what's next? I mean, so are we going to see Sandoval and Angela battle to see who the real cook? I don't care. Ghost is out of jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did without prejudice, right?
And we mentioned, we didn't discuss the whole Teresi thing, but, you know, everyone keeps saying that Teresi and Tommy are our father's son.
Right, and then it looks as though Ghost has figured that out.
Yes.
By the look on his face.
Yeah. And one question for you. Someone wants to know, is Sax going to follow up on Bailey's intel?
Okay. I hope so.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's everyone give their...
Shane, where can we follow you? Our viewers follow you.
I'm on social media. I'm not great at it, but I like it. Shane_M_Johnson. And you'll see my face there usually. Or my kids.
You can find me at Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms.
I'm at Stiletto Jill everywhere.
I'm at Be Your Own Dad. I collaborated with Alex, who joined our show at the top of the season. We just made a funny power skit. Go to my Instagram to check that out.
And you can find me on our social media at Bam Erickson. We want to thank our special guest, Mrs. Shane Johnson.
Thank you.
My
own place, role of Cooper Sacks. You know, apologies. There was so much to discuss, and we ran out of time. But we will talk next week. We have more guests lined up for you guys. So please continue watching, and thank you so much for supporting. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.